Welcome to a new episode of Lo-Fi Lit. My name is Tyler Byrne. This is a show where I interview poets, publishers, and people that I am interested in that I find on the internet. Today I'm talking to, let me get this pronunciation right. Let me get this right. I looked this up on YouTube because there's a few different pronunciations. It's from Croatia. Ivan Jink. Because there's like an Albanian pronunciation, there's a French pronunciation, and there's many different. So I probably got them all wrong, but if you're a dumbass and you see his name, it'd be Ivan Jonk. But that's the wrong way. Anyways, he makes these like really creative and amazing designs for articles that are published on Zona Motel. That is a Substack for people that love books. It is ran by Lucy K. Shaw. It is ran by Julia Descoria and Misha Marin. Just interviewed her and I can't even get her name right. Anyways, Avon is an incredible, how was that? An incredible, like, and nice and generous and just like everyone loves this kid. He just came out of nowhere and everyone fucking loves him. He's awesome, lovable, and I just found a documentary. I just found this while I'm editing. My eyes are bloodshot. It is 4:41 a.m. in the morning. I just found this documentary, and it is from like a Croatian like magazine or documentary crew, and they like document like young people and stuff, and they did a documentary on him and his friends. Like, he has, I forget, he's 25. I'm 30, you know, I'm like 10 years older than this guy, but like, I don't know, I just always thought he was like on the internet, you know. No, he's got a life. That sounds fucking insane, doesn't it? He has a whole life and he has friends and he has like this other thing outside of like his house, obviously. Like, that sounds so stupid, but like, you forget that people have lives, I guess, when you're only interacting with them on the internet. But like, to see like a documentary on, they like followed him and his friends and they talked about the sinkhole stuff, and they speak in Croatian, and I didn't know he could speak in Croatian. Croatian, but he does live in Croatia, so that would make sense.
I am from a little town in Croatia called Petrinja.
Mm-hmm.
it's terrible. I mean, it's what? Eastern Europe. It's the middle of nowhere. I mean, every time I tell somebody I'm from Croatia, everybody thinks like, "Oh, you live by the sea, it's like King's Landing from Game of Thrones." No, it's fucking hell on earth. It's a muddy, shitty ruin. That's the best way I could describe it. Because I live in a town that was really hit by the Homa War we had like 3 decades ago. And also a couple of years ago, we had like a crazy, devastating earthquake.
Yeah, I saw that. Because I put in your hometown, I was like trying to do a little research before, and I saw like in 2020 was hit by like a hurricane or an earthquake.
Earthquake, yeah. Like a 6.3 on the Richter scale. Shit. But
did you feel it?
Oh, yeah. It was horrible. It like threw my town into disarray. A bunch of stuff got ruined. My house was fine. We only had like some chimney issues, but it was hell. Yeah.
So you've grown up there. You live there now. Have you ever like traveled outside of Croatia?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've only traveled in Europe. I think like the most west I've been is probably the Netherlands. I've never been to the U.S.
So how do you find like the alt-lit community?
Okay, I've been very online since like the dawn of time. I think I made Twitter when I was 9 years old. I've been an active user. I'm 25.
Oh, you're young, dude. Damn.
I am. Is that young?
Yeah.
I feel you're like very 25 young. Is like already like sort of like half dying.
No, I'm 36. I feel like I'm young. I feel like old as 90.
You look incredible for 36. You look very young.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You too.
But yeah. Thanks. But since I made Twitter when I was like 9, I guess I've been like hopping from circle to circle online. Uh-huh. And one of my earliest Twitter follows was at So Sad Today. You know who So Sad Today is? It's Melissa Broder. And I met her.
You were 9
like,
when she followed you?
No, I was 9 when I followed her, but I think she followed me back maybe.
When were you? 18. What age? Okay, 18. All right, that's okay.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious if like you were 9 and she followed you.
Yeah. It would have been funny. So
how many followers did you have when you were 9?
I don't know. It was a slow burn.
Okay.
I managed to get.
Did you put that you were 9 or did you like act like you're older?
I didn't say what my age was. I would have been banned. Even today, if I said on Twitter that I made Twitter when I was 10, I probably would be banned if somebody took a closer look. Mm-hmm. Probably not under Elon. I don't think Elon cares much. Yeah. But I don't think you're ever supposed to say on Twitter that you made Twitter when you were underage. It's like a big no-no.
But what were you tweeting? Were you like tweeting like, were you pretending to be like in your 20s? Or like, I'm going to the DMV and I'm having a bad day.
No, but it was actually a lot of like journal-like thoughts in the beginning, but also like stupid shit like, oh, it's such a nice day outside. It was like stupid. And I think I talked about video games a lot because what else are you gonna talk about when you're young?
Yeah.
I think I was depressed very early on. So Sad Today, and it was like so relatable, and I felt like somebody finally understood me online. And this was before Melissa was using her real name on mm-hmm. Twitter. It was still anonymous. And I think at some point I saw, oh, So Sad Today is a book now. I should probably read So Sad Today because I love that Twitter account. That was sort of my kind of entry into this world of literature. I read So Sad Today and I was like, oh, holy shit, like literature can look like this. It's not just like, I don't know, Crime and Punishment or like Harry Potter. Yeah. I grew up mostly on Stephen King. I used to love horror a lot.
Did you read it?
Yes. It's awesome. Okay. I think it's a great book, even today.
Did you read the hotel one, The Shining?
The Shining, yeah. I read a lot of like Stephen King. I even read some of his work that's kind of like not that popular. I can't remember the English name. Probably like Insomnia is like a good example of a book not many people like. I read everything because I didn't know what books were. And I was like, oh, I'm going to read Stephen King. I'm so cool. I'm a reader.
At least you were reading. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It was mostly like a hipster thing, you know. I had my, I don't know, flannel and Converse, and I was like reading, and I was so edgy, and I was like 12 and 13. And
well, that's the way to go. Yeah. You're like feeling. Did you feel like superior to the other kids?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you writing like Stephen King fan fiction?
No, I wasn't writing any fan fiction. Okay. I was mostly like tweeting stupid shit and.
Oh yeah, because you were on Twitter. Yeah. That's crazy to have like Twitter at that age. I don't even know what I would be doing. At, like,
just
9.
tweeting dumb shit.
I was on like gaming like message boards, like at 10, like maybe at like maybe 14. Did you ever go on any message boards?
Not really. I think by the time that I got onto the internet, like social media was really kicking off. So
yeah,
you know, I even had MySpace for a brief while. Yeah, at the very end when it was not cool anymore.
So what year? When you're 9, what year is it? Just to get a perspective, because my head doesn't work.
2009. It's pretty simple.
Oh wow! So you're born in 2000. Okay.
No, actually, 99. Late 99. I was born.
Oh, you're born in 99. Nice.
Yes.
November. You're born in the 90s. So wait, you're 10 years younger than me. So you're 26.
26 this year.
Yeah, you're turning 26 this year. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Oh, okay. It's cool. I'm just wrapping my head right now that you're like 10 years younger than me. And I'm like, the math is still like adding up, even though I've already resolved that. So, okay. This is very interesting. How do you get into poetry?
Poetry is kind of a new development.
You're good at it, dude. I was reading your Spectre poems.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Good. Thank you so
you
much.
You want to read one of them?
I can, if you'd like.
I can pull it up. It's like really good.
You really think so?
Yeah, it's awesome. Better than the shit I usually read.
Oh, Sinkholes was the first poem I felt comfortable sending out and asking to be published. I don't know why. I don't even know how it happened. This was born in my notes app, and I was like, oh, maybe this should be something. I mean, it's like a collection of my thoughts surrounding the earthquake and the fallout of the earthquake. Sinkholes, the title itself, is inspired by this phenomenon that happened after the earthquake, where a bunch of sinkholes all around the county opened up, and holy nobody shit. Really knows why, because it's not a very like swampy area. Like, nobody expected sinkholes to open up, but there was like hundreds and hundreds of hundreds of them, and they opened up near houses even years later after the earthquake, and would just like swallow up homes in these like villages surrounding my town. It was like so inspiring how, you know, this earthquake and its fallout is still like grabbing, you know, homes and pulling them to
the
ground.
Is that terrifying, dude? You like just sinkholes opening up, you don't know if you're gonna be just fall in the earth one day. That's crazy.
I think its terror is kind of like subtle.
In a way like paranoid that, walking around like, fuck, I'm gonna fall through the earth.
No, because they start very small and they just keep expanding through like a long period of time. It's like so interesting that it's happened like after the earthquake. But I kept dreaming about them. I had dreams about them.
Do you want to be taken by the earth?
No.
Okay.
I have no interest in participating in sinkholes, okay. But I do find them very, very mystifying.
From a distance?
Yes.
Okay.
My town in particular is like full of like a bunch of weird circumstances. Yeah, sinkholes is basically like my relationship to the fallout of the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like collage from different thoughts about, you know, whatever was fucking happening. I had a lot of dreams about it, so that's why it sounds so I guess magical.
Okay.
I can read it if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay. When the ground rumbled and opened its many mouths, I pressed my lips against the cool dirt and hummed. For countless days, my breath kissed winds from below. Years have come by, and I'm as porous as the earth. When the rain arrived and tragic ruins surfaced above, I touched frail pieces of everything I have ever known. Where I held what remains, others will build a home. There was no shame or bitter sorrow. It's just bones.
This is one of the better poems with like a rhyming scheme. Because I know a lot of people, they'll complain about like rhyming schemes or how it's like below them. This is really, really good. I really love this. It reminds me a lot of like New Zealand's poetry, where they'll incorporate the earth as if it were like a person, and they really personify it, and it's really beautiful.
Hmm.
Like, it reminds me of this a lot. About kissing the winds and how the earth is like bones.
Hmm. New Zealand poetry. Interesting. I've never read.
Like Stacey Teague. Stacey Teague's a really great poet down there.
I'll have to read her.
Yeah, she's friends with Lucy.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I think the town, for all of its ruin and ugliness, has so many places in nature that are just like so fucking stunning. And I don't go there just to like decompress. It's also like spiritually very refreshing. I like to meditate in nature rather than like at home.
Yeah, you asked a question in the chat that now I'm thinking of, about if you could look into like a crystal ball and see like into the future. And I'm just because this whole sinkhole thing, you know, there's been like hurricanes and stuff in the U.S. in the past year, especially in Asheville. And I just keep thinking like there's going to be like after effects, like years and years after, from these like devastating like earthquakes or hurricanes or whatever. And we really don't know what's in the future. Like, it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just went there, but yeah.
The thing about natural disaster, I have a very complicated relationship with it. Some of it I have expressed through this poem itself, but when the earthquake actually hit and we were in a state of emergency, I felt really good.
Yeah.
I did not feel any sort of existential anxiety or fear or terror. I felt really, really good. Probably better than I have in previous years.
Were you like just in a calm state?
Yes, yes. I was really calm. And I think it's because before the earthquake, I had, you know, dealt with my mental illness in some ways. I was very anxious when I came to college. I had like very regular panic attacks and started going to therapy and started meditating, and it really felt like I had developed a toolkit for dealing with whatever I was dealing with. And so by the time that the earthquake came, it's not that I felt prepared. I just felt like everybody else is on my level now.
So how do you come to Altlit, I guess, the community? How do you find like Lucy K. Shaw and like Juliet Escoria? And
first official kind of step into Altlit was Chowl Intellectuals, which is like a meme Instagram account, which started sometime during COVID. Mm-hmm. And I saw this account was like a brand new, Tao Intellectuals was a brand new account. I had read Tao before. I read Taipei. And I just sent like a couple of memes to that account. And they said like, oh, do you want to be an admin? Do you want to post memes? And I was like, oh, hell yeah. And I quickly became like the Photoshop admin, making elaborate edits of Tao. Like, I don't know, on a movie poster or some crazy meme where, I don't know, Nicki Minaj is reading Leave Society or something like that. So that was a lot of fun, and that was a project that was really lengthy. I think it was running for like a good year. We were mm-hmm. really active, like posting every other day maybe. And yeah, I think through that I made a lot of connections.
Oh, like people were like messaging you and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, we were all anonymous, but at some point we just like, there was a bunch of admins on that account. I think Peter Vack was one of them.
I keep hearing Peter Vack's name. People are coming on here talking about Peter Vack. Like, who is Peter Vack?
I have no idea. Like, an actor?
I don't either. And like, his name keeps coming up.
I mean, I only know him through Tao Intellectuals. Like, he's a funny guy. He's a meme lord.
Okay.
He's the master of cum.
What?
I don't know. That's his Instagram handle.
Okay.
One of his accounts is the master of cum.
Seems nice.
it is.
So, okay. So is this where you find like your ability to make like graphic media? Because you've done some of the posters or pictures for Zona Motel, and they're stunningly like professional and like gorgeous to look at.
Oh, thanks. Well, I think Photoshop has always been kind of like something I'm fucking around with. I'm always playing in Photoshop, doing like stupid edits and stuff. But that was I did that before Child Intellectuals. I had like a bunch of stupid projects. I had like a listening party event on Discord that I used to make visuals for.
What did that consist of?
So I was in a fan Discord for the band Fools, and I was an admin there, and I decided to make an event. This was before COVID, by the way. This was like 2019.
Okay.
An event where people call in like in a radio show, just like ask for a song to be played.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody would come with a certain song that's appropriate for a certain theme, and we would just play it and listen to it together and talk about the songs together. It was a load of fun. And I made visuals for that.
I think Julia, Scoria, and Misha, they should make you a DJ, and they should hold like Zone Hotel, like music parties online. And like do what you're doing, what you're talking about.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that. That could be cool. We did just talk about, this is like a teaser, but we did just talk about recently about events that we're gonna have. I'm gonna have a workshop in August probably.
You are?
Yeah.
What's the how much?
How much what?
How much is it gonna cost?
Oh, it's gonna be open to our paid subscribers.
Oh, nice. I love that. That's great.
Yeah. But and yeah, listening parties could be cool. Yes. It's gonna be my workshop.
I want to take it. Okay. Are you doing poetry?
It's gonna be like I don't know how much I want to say about it because it's so early. I'm not sure if it's
gonna, fairly new, and you're like, still accumulating.
Yeah, but it's likely gonna be like a meditation workshop with prompts for writing.
Like Reiki?
Not really. No.
Okay. Well, that's what Gabby Best used to do. So. So that was in my head.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be, I'm not entirely sure what I want to do yet. I have like an outline, but more of that in a couple months, probably.
What is meditation for you?
Oh, so meditation, I don't come from a place of wellness. I was taught meditation through like theater workshops and youth work.
What you did there?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did theater in my teens. I was a part of an amateur theater group.
What plays? Mostly, what's your favorite play?
Waiting for Godot is probably my favorite, but yeah. We did a bunch of like absurdist fiction, which was like I love absurdist like dramas, like they're so fun. I love Beckett.
Yeah, Lucy, she used to do a book club, and we did Waiting for Godot.
Godot is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
As I forgot. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. So much fun.
Now, how long do you have to practice? Like, are you pretty good at memorizing? Or was that hard for you?
Yeah, it's easy for me. Like, yeah. It's mostly, I'm a great listener.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I mostly learn through, when we were reading the text together, I would mostly memorize it there.
Is it all like confidence, like in the character and believing into like you're this character?
I think so. Yeah. I think playing a character is like a puzzle, I guess, and it's very stimulating. Just like trying to portray a character. I haven't done theater in a very long time.
I tried to do like acting in college, and I ended up dropping out with the midterm because someone else dropped out and they gave me two parts and they're way too long. But my thing was like, I was more interested in trying to create lines for the character, try to create this other character that I had in my head that the other people in the class, they didn't think of. Like, I kept trying to make the character gay because I thought the character was kind of a pansy, and the other people didn't see this character that way. And so like, I was more like, I should just like write my own shit.
You know, oh yeah, I was about creative. To ask, like, are you like into playwriting now?
I took a class for screenwriting for like film, and that like definitely changed the way that I view or come to fiction. Because that like the teacher was like really challenging, like challenged the way that I write stories, because I was a bit more absurdist, and like the plots and the characters didn't really always make a lot of sense. And now like I'm a much more structured, I think. Mm-hmm. When I come to characters,
have you tried writing? Have you tried writing like specifically for the screen?
No. A play? Just in no? a class. Have you?
No, I haven't.
I think you should.
Maybe.
You could write about the sinkholes and like they could be like characters.
Interesting. I do love magical realism, and I think magical realism is very fitting for like a play or with a screen. But like I've never written with like such intention. Most of my writing since I don't know if I'm like really comfortable writing for other people yet. In a way, I've always journaled, but I've never really thought about publishing until like last year. Mm-hmm. So like I barely have any structured writing, to be honest.
Now I'm just thinking of the sinkhole thing. Like if it was a musical, that might work too.
A musical.
Yeah, if the sinkhole started like singing. That'd be so weird.
I actually kind of like that.
So how does who comes to you about Zona Motel? And wait, were you ever in, sorry, I'm like so ADD today, but were you ever in the Misery Loves Company readings?
No, actually I was in a couple, but like very recently.
Yeah, I think I remember you. I remember your face. And you were just, you didn't really speak up, but you're like kind of in the background?
Yeah. Because I love Morgan Rede. I said that with like Morgan Rede.
Oh, Colton?
Colton.
Your friend right. Colton. That's awesome. His name.
Yeah. I like him a lot. I'm sorry I said that with an accent. That's like so dumb.
It's the most confusing name. I don't know why he chose that name, but yeah. Yeah, he's awesome.
It's German. For no reason.
I thought he just made it up. Who comes to you about Zona?
Right. This is such a fractured conversation. I don't even know where I started. My Tao Intellectuals adventures led to me finding out about Megan Boyle, and I commented on Megan Boyle's live blog. She had a live blog from 2023 to 2024. Like a new iteration of it. Mm-hmm. And I was consistently like commenting on the Substack because I found it like so fun and so fascinating. And and Juliet was often mentioned because they're friends. And so I found out about Juliet and I subscribed to her Substack. And then I commented a bunch on her Substack, just like giving her my thoughts on her posts. And then she just emailed me one day and said like, oh hey, so you've been commenting on my Substack and I was talking to Megan and I thought, oh, you would be great for like a social media role at Zona Motel. Do you want to do it? And I was just like, oh, that's so awesome. Fuck yeah, here are my credentials. She didn't even know that I was the Tao Intellectuals admin. So I proposed to her that we do it on Instagram and that we do these visual posts because that's my preferred medium. I think I could have a lot of fun with that. And I managed to develop this visual language that allows me to express myself, but also portray the writing we have on Zona Motel in the best light possible. That's how I ended up.
I feel like your comments though, like, do stand out. They're very honest. You're very real. There's not like a mask there. You're just like very vulnerable. Maybe that just comes through the fact that you've always been on like the internet since you were 9 and you found a way to communicate. Cause I find like when I first came on the internet, like especially social media, like it's very hard, especially people in the South, like in Oklahoma, like not a lot of people are on the internet. It's very hard to like find how to communicate. You have to learn how to like kind of communicate. I think you're just like very natural at it.
Thanks, I guess.
Yeah. So when she was like, she came to you about Zona Motel, did she explain what it was going to be and like consistent?
Yes. Even the manifesto was already like half written.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She told me about it and I was completely on board just from like this perspective that this is going to be something that's very communal, which I was immediately drawn to, because it feels like that's something that's kind of missing from my life. There's a bunch of very minimalist publications out there, which I love, by the way. I love a minimalist publication. I love getting my art that way. But at the same time, like, I really want a space where I can spend time and, you know, be challenged and like have a load of fun and explore and have it like be smart and intellectual and not just like a meme playground. Like it's kind of like a textured publication in that way, that it has like a lot of things you can do with it. And
there's
a lot of
so
like
up here. It's already been a month and like there's so much up here.
Yeah, I think around 30-ish posts maybe.
And that's gonna be every month, like there's gonna be like 30 posts.
I don't know what the schedule is.
Okay.
I know it's stacked for the time being. I have a lot of work to do, but yeah, we have a pretty good pace at the moment.
Do they give you like ahead of time, you know what's coming out, and so you're like sitting down every day with like a regimented time frame of what you like what to work on and when?
Yeah, I basically open up Substack and see what's scheduled, and I read everything ahead of time. So like my work process is, every day for like a couple of hours, I open up Substack, see what's scheduled next, read through the post a couple of times just to like get a feel for it, and try to represent it visually, which is such a fun challenge. It's like I think I spend probably a little too much time just like sort of thinking how a piece can be represented in a post on Instagram that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. It's the writing that matters. But still, I'm very proud of my work, and it's like so it's so fulfilling creatively.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, and I like the visual language that I developed because it allows me to be very expressive. Like it isn't very. I like that every post is very different, but mm-hmm. You know it's Zona Motel because you know you have the goat in the corner and like similar fonts here and there, but it's still like very different.
Is there a way to post your work on the Zona Motel? Because I don't have Instagram, so I don't see these. But I saw I saw you post some on Twitter.
We'll have to think about that. But no, like Instagram is like my place of work, basically, when it comes to Zona Motel. But I do think maybe we could expand to like other social media.
Well, is there a way to like when you post about the article or the thing, could they post it like at the top? When the article comes out, or are you posting the art thing after the article's already been posted?
I post it after.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of like a promotional thing. And I don't think I could keep up with doing it ahead of time. But yeah, it's a good idea to have it somewhere else as well. Instagram was a deliberate choice because when I thought about social media, we didn't want to be on Twitter because Twitter is a hellscape now.
It is.
I'm only there because I've been there. Totally. I've been there since forever. I can't leave it. Like I think my total tweet count is probably like 85,000. I cannot leave that website. I'm just like too invested at this point.
Yeah, like I left Instagram a few years ago because I was like, I'm too addicted to this. I need to leave something. So I just like I'm gonna stick with Twitter. And then I created the podcast. I'm like, I try to go back to Instagram, and it was like, this is too much time, too complicated. I'm just going to stick with Twitter, and whatever unfolds is unfolds.
Instagram is like this very, it has like a historic user base. Like a lot of writers are already on the Instagram.
Yeah, that's
true.
But
not a lot of people have left.
Yeah.
And Blue Sky or whatever, it's just like simply too new.
I'm trying Substack. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm still confused between posting and the tweeting thing and the difference between subscribing and following. Yeah.
Yeah. Like no idea how Substack works, but it's cool. It's very versatile and it's like kind of easy to publish on.
When you go on Zona, you can see the posts before everyone else.
Yes.
Well, that's cool.
That's one of the benefits. Yeah. I get to read ahead of time. It's really, really awesome. I think we do have like a set schedule. Mm-hmm. But what's cool about Substack is it has like a draft system.
Oh.
So it's basically like a Google Doc, and you can go in post and like see like edit history and how people work on it, which is like so cool. I haven't like taken full advantage of it to like see how people work. But it's very, very simple and very, very cool. So there's like a draft section and there's like a scheduled section, and the drafts, like everything is like still work in progress, but scheduled posts are fully edited posts and ready to go. And that's where I usually spend my time, just like looking at scheduled posts and what I need to do visually.
Do you think Juliet's going to get mad at you for spoiling all their secrets?
No, I don't think so. Because this is like, I haven't said anything. At least I don't think I've said anything confidential. Okay. I basically just explained how Substack works.
Yeah.
I think. Have I said anything exposing?
Just about the workshop.
Oh yeah. But that's okay. That's like a teaser. That's good. And yeah. I only talked about like my stuff.
So there are things that you could expose that you could get in trouble for.
Probably, yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. It's so complicated. It's like very layered. Ooh, I got
surprisingly, a lot of work goes into something that like is so accessible. Because I personally feel like Zona Motel looks and feels super accessible, super communal, and super easy. Like you go on Substack and it's like just, you know, it's just posts. And on Instagram, it's just like colorful posts and Instagram stories. Like it seems so accessible, but there's like a whole machinery underneath. And like Juliet and Misha and Lucy, like they work so hard on it. And it's like so beautiful to witness. I'm just like a little cog in a great machine. I mean, if you look at Substack, like we have a bunch of contributing editors and regular editors. It's like a huge machinery in a way.
Yeah, Lucy was like born for this. I bet she's just like, she was ready for something like this. She was already doing this with the Shabby Doll, but like on her own.
Yeah, honestly, like Shabby Doll, completely new to me, which is like super exciting because I already ordered like Oscar's book and I ordered something else as well. Yeah. Log Off, right?
Yeah. You should come back on books, here and talk about those.
Sure. I mean those books are like right up my alley. I mean, I grew up on the fucking internet, not on like LiveJournal and stuff like that, but I was on social media, stuff like that. And like Oscar's book, like I fucking love Longing, I fucking love Limerence and stuff like that. And
yeah,
it just seems like the perfect fucking publisher for me. I love Shabby Doll now, even though I had no idea what it was 4 or 5 months ago.
What's the benefit of like something like this, like finding out more people and more communities and shit?
Yeah, well, the thing about working on representing these pieces visually on Zona Motel is the fact that I probably wouldn't read half of them. Mm-hmm. Just out of disinterest. Like I like reading Motherhood probably wouldn't appeal to me because I'm like a man not interested in like parenting at all. Mm-hmm. Like what would that benefit me? And yet I read it and it was amazing. And I was so touched by the piece that I was just like so surprised, and it keeps surprising me and it keeps impressing me. It's like so awesome.
When you like create an image, you have to take like a personal investment into the piece. So you have to be reading it again and again and again. What I really like about Zona Motel is I really love like everything about it, but like the chat, because a lot of subscription places, if you subscribe, the chats just aren't very active. They're kind of dead. And like, yeah, if I go on Zona Motel's chat, it's like every day. And there's, you can talk to Juliet, you can talk to Misha, you can talk to you, you can talk to Lucy. Like, it's very active. Mm.
Yeah, I love that as well. I mean, even when we had our first meeting that happened before the publication was even announced, like the atmosphere was immediately like super friendly. It was so comforting and reassuring. I mean, there was an air to it that felt very relaxed and honest, also intellectual, but also like a super social, which I really like, because there's not a lot of places. I mentioned this before, but a lot of publications these days are just like minimalist. And it's awesome that there's now a space where you could just go and say whatever in a way. I feel like it's spiritually kind of punky, but I guess free of a punky aesthetic. It's definitely like truly accessible and full of energy, which is like so fucking exciting. And I guess that's the pre-Raphaelite element, I guess. Like, we're not minimalist.
What do you mean, like, what do you mean when you say that? When you say, like, other places are minimalist?
Well, it's basically just, you know, it's, I don't have anything against minimalist publications. Like, I just think that it's not like a place you can go and spend time in. Like, not a lot of people talk about literature and minimalist publications is just like read, which is good, of course, but this is like really like for readers by readers, for writers by writers, and like, it's just like very social. I don't know how to explain it, but
no, I think like the minimalist people, they can come here and they can join Zona Motel if they're like they're you know.
It's just or, like, I fucking love, sorry.
Like subscribe, join. I subscribed, and like just be chatting it up and be commenting on pieces. And maybe you'll get pulled in at some point.
Yeah, it's community, right?
Yeah.
Like you want to support the community you're in, but you also want to live in it.
Yeah.
If you think about it, like a minimalist house would be something like Kim Kardashian's house, you know, bare walls and like concrete and everything. Well, this is like, you know, like a proper house that looks lived in, like wooden floors, not concrete. I'm fucking rambling.
Where do you think Zona Motel is located, like geographically?
Oh, that's such a cool question. I always feel like there's a part in every typical American movie about cross-country road trips where the protagonist drives through a desert or just like a very bare place, something like, I don't know, Nevada. And there's always like this bright and shiny motel that they stay at. And there's just like a whole different cast of interesting people there who are also like on their way somewhere. So I think maybe something like that.
Yeah. I told you we were going to do like 50 minutes. Is it okay if we keep going? Or do you have to go?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I can chat.
Okay.
It's fine.
Can we talk about the Dago essay by Misha?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So what did you like about this essay?
I like that.
Why is it the top essay on here?
Oh, interesting. I don't know. I have no fucking idea. I think it's just fucking good. I think it's a good essay. And I think it's something that a lot of people have sort of been perceiving, but haven't had the words to describe. Like this sort of like switch to like the book talkification of literature. Like it's very TikTok, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's everybody like feels there's a switch in media that's not just connected to television or online content like YouTube and stuff like that. Like this switch is happening spiritually in all facets of media. And this is basically, I feel like it's in a way a warning essay about the direction that literature is going, which is like very fast consumption, very like influencer oriented, maybe. I often think about how there are now these influencers like Kylie Jenner and I don't know, whoever, that are often seen with like a book, and that book gets praise. And then there's also like book club culture, like Oprah Winfrey and Reese Witherspoon, and everybody reads only those books, just like what's really, really popular and what you can like make content about. I feel like I know some people personally who I feel like only read books so they could talk about those books in short video format, like so they can brag about it on Instagram or whatever. And I think it's very interesting. And also, like, I felt called out by this post partly because she mentioned two screens or something like that. Yeah, like Netflix shows are made for, you know, such casual viewing that you just like put them on another screen while you do something else on one screen. And yeah, I felt so called out about that by that, because I am Gen Z. I try to like maximize my time in every way possible. But yeah, I love this essay.
I like it because it made me. Oh, you can continue.
Sure. It made me think about how I consume not just literature, but like generally like all media, and how I should like probably focus more and really consume critically. And even though I sort of know that I should do that, but I often forget that.
I like that she brings up her students, and because I see a lot of these critiques on Substack where it's like the younger generation is going to be more stupid or something. And that just seems like it's so like demeaning and looking down on the next generation instead of like trying to understand or empathize with what they're going through. I like that she brings up her students and how she has these great conversations with them about this thing and seeing the culture kind of changing and the bullshit that's happening. I really love that. I like that she brings in different cultures and not just specifically looking at reading, but she brings in like the music thing that I had no idea of, and the Netflix thing, because I remember hearing about that. But the music thing is so interesting, because like my podcast is called Lo-Fi, and I just named it because that week, the first week I like recorded something, the Lo-Fi girl was missing, and I was just like, well, I'm just going to use something from the news instead of using a name I thought of, because if I use a name I thought of, I'm going to hate it. And I'm going to try to rechange it 500 times. So I just chose something in the news and I put that up. And it's just funny how like that's permeated. And that really is like lo-fi music. Like that's a thing that's like very much in the culture now. And I love how she brings that up.
Yeah.
And how people just use music to put on like something in the background to listen to and not really think about.
Yeah, it was so interesting because I guess I'm not the typical like music consumer. I've never been on Spotify and felt like I was listening to something that wasn't made by a real artist.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have this sort of like obsessive nature where I need to know everything about like the person I'm reading or the person I'm listening to, or like whose movie am I watching. So that makes it even sometimes a little hard to get into stuff, because I guess I just like, if somebody is not cool but they're making good art, I'll still kind of feel like I don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole different can of worms.
I listen to a lot of cover bands. Like I listen to this. There's a band called like Pomplamoose, and they have a whole album that's just like Daft Punk cover songs.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so corny.
It is
a cover band for Daft Punk. That's insane.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. It's just funny.
Really? I've never heard like a cover band for electronic music.
Yeah, and then they do like, and they make it in other genres of music. They take electronic.
Oh, that's cool.
They make it into country, or they make it into like big band music or something, whatever that is.
That's kind of fun, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you guys got Ken Bauman. Like, cause he was off the grid, and I would get his newsletter like every other, like every 2 years.
Really? I have no idea.
Yeah,
I'm a baby in this space. I don't know half these people.
But it's cool because like they brought in these older like elder heads that have been writing for like HTML Giant for like back in the day when that was popular, and like people that maybe went off the grid and kind of went away. They're bringing them back, and then they got you. You're like 25, and then they got Lucy. Like it's just like all these different generations of people coming in together to write about writing and reading and shit. And it's like a really dope thing.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. It has a really good vibe to it.
Are you writing anything for it?
For Zona Motel, currently no. No.
But you will?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I want to do. Because I do like to write poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't published anything in a long time. I probably should, but...
You published those poems on Spectre, dude.
Yeah. That's only like a few. I don't know. I don't have like a big output. I don't dare call myself a poet yet. Even I often say like I'm just a guy. I'm still trying, but I'd love to write something concrete one day.
What about Oscar's thing spoke to you? Because you were talking about it in the chat.
Oh, I love the premise of an interview done in a hot tub, which by the way was cold, which I didn't know. It was really funny when I talked to.
I thought I suspected it might be because they were wearing hoodies in the picture.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I guess I'm just fucking stupid.
No, I study these things way too hard.
Yeah, I love the intimacy of it. It really felt like a conversation between friends that was like also intellectual. And I love hearing about process. It's like so it's not just intimate in a sense that like somebody is telling you how they do their work, but it's also interesting from a perspective from somebody who wants to do the work. And what you can take from your own life and how to translate that to text and how to translate that and play with form. So I found that like super impressive from Oscar, especially when I was like trying to make a post about it. Mm-hmm. And I tried to write the entire post in haiku and it didn't fucking work.
What's it, like, are they still doing the Sunday Diaries?
Oh, I haven't seen one in a bit. I think it's because we're running these dispatches, so maybe it's kind of cramped to do the diaries, but I like the diaries. I'm not sure. I'll have to ask to bring them back.
I thought that was I thought you posted it.
Oh, no. I think the first diary was probably posted by Juliet, and then the other one was posted by Lucy. Maybe I should be the one posting them. I don't know. Maybe I'm supposed to. I'm fucking up. Maybe I'm. Yeah. I don't know.
They probably would tell you.
I know that Zona Motel. I mean, not Zona Motel. The Substack does have like a podcast option, so maybe there will be something. I doubt I'd be doing one of them.
I think you should host.
You think I should host? Why do you think so?
So I think like even like Andrew's pieces, like if along with when his pieces came out for subscribers, if like. You would sat down with him and talk to him about the pieces as it when it released. I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of work, though.
Well, I mean, just like 40 minutes. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's a bunch of work, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. Workshops are easy because that you don't have to do that like regularly. Like I said in the last time we talked, like they're gonna go like somebody one person is gonna host the workshop probably each month, so it's not like something that will happen regularly for a single person.
No wait, are they gonna be like classes that you sign up for, or are they workshop for subscribers?
From my understanding, they will be for subscribers, but obviously they will be kind of advertised in a sense, like on Zona Motel. And I think with a subscription, you can get in. I think we'll
Now,
see. We'll see.
is this, are they going to have to pay extra to get into the
I
workshop?
don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's just like a subscriber benefit. But I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure. But I remember when we were talking about it at the very beginning, before even the first post went up, we said that that would be a subscriber benefit. We had like a meeting, like a proper meeting,
Over
all of
Zoom?
the, yeah, all of the editors. And
Like, okay.
I remember Juliet, Misha, and Lucy, but I don't remember really anyone else. I remember Oscar, actually. Oscar said they had something to say.
What'd he say?
I have no idea. It's
Okay.
such a long time ago. But he had
Yeah.
his camera on. That was cool. I didn't have my camera on because I'm too lazy to set it up. I
Yeah.
set it up now.
Well, thank you. Yeah, Lucy, dude, she does so much. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Which
She's a
crazy.
powerhouse.
Huh?
She's a powerhouse, and I'm
Yeah.
so impressed. Like I didn't know Lucy before Zona Motel. I'm embarrassed to admit this. But now that I know more about her, I'm in so much awe.
Yeah.
Like, she does so much, and she has like this long history behind her. I think in one of the Worthington essay parts, there is like a shabby dollhouse timeline or something, and it's like completely insane. Like this woman is amazing.
Yep. Like that's not even, and that's like just part, that's partial of the timeline,
Yeah.
not even the full timeline.
So you've been following her for like a very long time,
Since
or?
2016 when I found the little group, yeah. And I was
Yeah,
like, I'm gonna stick with these people because they seem legit.
that's almost like 10 years. That's
Yeah,
so
that's
long.
crazy.
What was I doing in
I feel
2016? I
like
don't know.
you kind of represent the next generation coming
You think so? I'm like
Yeah.
alt-lit 3 or 4.0.
Sure, yeah. What do you think of the Andrew articles? I mean, I like that you're here to read them because now they're because they always get so much negativity. Like, it's actually kind of a positive one.
Ne znam kak je vama bilo, a meni je baš bilo nekak filmski, sve je bilo usporeno. Kroz cijelu svoju kuću sam trčao nekak da dođem do svoje mame, nekak bor je pao na mene i onda stakla svugdje padaju i sve je nekako ono, u slow motionu.
Kao ništa, skrenulo odmah trčati van i vučem ono, sve sa sobom, mamu, brata, stari se ukipio u kuhinji i gleda kak sve pada iz frižidera, kak sve trese.
Ne, svi piju, cijeli grad pije kavu, znaš, kao nama ništa nije dogodilo. Ja rekao, ajde, dođi do 20 minuta, kao sad se tek probudila, ona mora oprat zube. I to je zove me Zovko, kao nisi te htio jučer se zvat, kao šta je bilo. I ja govorim, ma ništa, nije pala ni jedna slika i to krene. I onda sam krenula da mi je pao ovako ormar na glavu. Scarface, to imam, sad to imam.
Evo, pokaži svoj stan, Teo.
E, sad, ovo je moj balkon, ovo je gore, znači, nakon ovo
Najviši.
dolje, to je moj balkon. Ovo je moja soba, ova tu malo.
Koliko si ti balkona imao?
Uf,
Stara.
stara
Kako je to
moja,
buržoazija?
evo.
Ja se smijem.
A baš je
Meni je baš bila
smijala
prva
se.
reakcija, mi je bila da se ja smijem.
Pa dobro.
Moji doma su bili totalno uspaničeni i anksiozni i to sve. Meni je zapravo bilo super. U smislu, kao, ne u tom
Sad
smislu.
vidite kak je meni inače.
Da, ali kužiš baš zato što je meni
Welcome to
inače,
the club.
da, inače me onak pere anksioznost oko svega konstantno. Onak, ne trenutak kad ja nisam u nekoj panici ili strahu, ali baš zato što je ona, ta nekakva ogromna katastrofa pogodila sve oko mene. I ja znam kakav je to osjećaj. Znam kako to donekle kontrolirati, znam kako se nositi s tim, pa sam barem to mogao biti u tom trenutku, nekakva emocionalna podrška.